It's costly to be a Christian in many, many countries, even today. You have to count the cost. Is Christ so precious to me that I'm ready to lose my job and my career for him? So don't be surprised that I had to give an account to my people. Why suffering? Why die for Christ? Because many were assassinated because they were Christians. So eventually I wrote this big book entitled Suffering, Martyrdom, and Rewards in Heaven. It's rather heavy stuff because I wrote his PhD dissertation, but this is the only book that you could find on this issue, suffering, martyrdom, and rewards in heaven. They are all bound together, always in the scripture. So especially for people in other countries where they are still under heavy persecution, this book is a treasure, and you can give it to people in those lands to help them understand why be ready to suffer for Jesus Christ. Now, my main passion is my Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says, for him I have lost everything. And my biggest treasure is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering and maybe die as he died. That's how Paul puts it. My greatest passion is to know Christ through his own teaching. Paul tells us you should develop the mind of Christ, the way Christ thinks. How can you develop that if you don't go to his teaching, the Gospels, and absorb that teaching until it shapes your thinking? And you can say, now I understand the mind of Christ. This is why my passion for the teaching of Christ, I'll teach tomorrow night and on Tuesday this class on perspectives, but the subject I always teach there is the teaching of Jesus on the kingdom of God and how it relates to missions. So that's my speciality, the teaching of Christ. What I propose this morning is to give you all that teaching of Christ in 35, 40 minutes. And you will see how I'll do it. Let me start with this. We are in love with the cross of Christ. We should be. But are we also in love with the school of Christ? Remember, there are two distinct things, the cross of Christ and the school of Christ. In the school of Christ, you get the teaching of Christ. Now, how do you relate the two? How do you put them organically linked as one? That's what I want to achieve this morning when I give you the teaching of Christ, and then to see how it is organically tied with the cross of Christ. Okay. Suppose that we travel in time 2,000 years and we come to witness Jesus as a teacher. Imagine that he had been baptized by John. Then he went to the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan. Came victorious from there. And he started his teaching ministry. He delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And from there he went all across the Galilee and Judea, teaching about one subject, the kingdom of God. Everywhere, that was his teaching, one subject, the kingdom of God. So, and he started to have pockets of disciples here and there. In the text just read to you, in Luke 6, we read that he traveled to a place on a plain where he had a lot of disciples. There was an assembly of his disciples there. So he gave them a new teaching. And we heard Brother Cody read to us a part of that teaching. Now, suppose that just before him going to give that teaching, I approach him. And I said, "My Lord, I want to know better your mind. I have a few burning questions. Would you give me an interview?" "Oh, it's interesting. I love the idea. Let's go in a corner there in the garden and in a quiet place. And I'm ready. Go on with your questions. Lord, I followed you a little bit. I heard some of your preaching, and it's amazing. It's totally new teaching. Will you tell me what are you up to? What do you want to achieve? What's your main goal? Or what's your final product with all your teaching?" Oh, I love this question. Now, let me explain to you the background first. All the world is under Satan today. And you know, I came to destroy the works of Satan. That's my fundamental goal, to undo what Satan has done. To undo what Satan has done. Well, first of all, I want to convince people that the worst thing in this world is to be under the dominion or under the rule of Satan. And the greatest thing in the world is to be under the rule or dominion of God. When I say kingdom of God, I say the dominion of God, the rule of God. I want people to throw out Satan and come under the rule of God, install God as their ruler. That's a basic fact. But because I want to undo the work of Satan, listen carefully. Satan is the evil one. When we and my Father and the Holy Spirit created man, we looked every day at the creation, and after every day of creation, we saw that everything we created was good. Only when we created man and woman, we said, "Very good." But when people came under Satan, Satan is the evil one. And they all became evil. In order for me to undo what Satan did, I have to remake people. Practically to recreate them. To make a new creation of them. So I have to teach them how to be good again. And in the lesson I will give them today, that will be the heart of it. I want to produce people who are like God, because He is good even to the ungrateful and to the wicked ones. You should be as good as your father. I want to teach them how to be good as their Father in heaven is good. That's the final product. People in the image of their Creator. People in the image of God. Good people. Wow. Lord. All right. You want to produce good people. What do you mean by good? Well, it's a good question. And I will give an answer right in this lesson. I will tell them. A good person is one who pours out of his mouth only good things, because everything comes from the hidden deposit of your heart. And if everything is good there, your mouth only speaks good things. So that's how I will define a good person, by the way he speaks or she speaks. And listen carefully, I just give you two ideas here. A wicked person, an evil person, uses his mouth to hurt people. You know how people are experts in hurting with words, insulting people, degrading people with their words. Now, I am in the healing ministry. Good person knows how to say, use only words that heal, that soothe, that inspire. I'll teach people to be good by the way of their speech. The other thing, Satan is a destroyer. He wants to choke people, and he wants to ruin people. You know, I am the Creator. A good person is a creator, even with his words. You speak to inspire, you speak to form, you speak to bring wings to people. Good people are creators. They lift them others up. They shape others in the image of God. So that's what I am up to create this kind of people. Wow, Lord, that's fantastic. But tell me, how on earth can you take these wicked people and make them good? I think that's the most difficult job you could ever conceive, to make evil people good people. Good question again. I want to tell you I have three methods to make people good. First is exactly what I am doing, teaching them. Teaching them how to be good. And if you analyze all my teaching, you will, and if you want, bring all my teaching together, you could give it a title, The Manual for Goodness. Because the essence of my entire teaching is how to be good. So I teach people how to be good. And I am not tired. Every day, this is what I teach them. How to be good. By teaching. You know, people even don't have an idea how to be good, because they are so immersed in evil and they don't realize that they are evil. First, I have to illuminate their minds to see what a shocking difference there is between a wicked person and a good person. So teaching them how to be good. Second, people function by choosing models. It's very strange. Every teenager looks for models. And they always say, who should be my hero? And they get heroes and then they imitate their heroes. I came here to model goodness. As God incarnate, I am goodness incarnate. I illustrate what a good person is. And then I invite everybody, come to me, who are heavily laden by the wickedness of this world. Come and learn from me, because I am meek and humble. Meekness, put instead of that, goodness. Because meekness is a form of goodness. Meekness means, in fact, sweetness in talk, gentleness, a person whose everything is goodness. And humility means that you look to the others and say, I am here for you. I live for you. I invest everything for you. That's the essence of goodness. So I illustrate that with everything I am, and they then say, I want to be your model. Imitate me, and then you imitate God. I change them by modeling to them the goodness of God. But that's not enough. I have a third way. You see the band of my disciples. There is among them the youngest one. He's called John. He is a quick man, an angry man. Recently, he wanted to bring fire from heaven to burn a village, simply because the village didn't allow us to spend the night with them. Although I told him, love your enemies, pray for them, he said, I don't want to have anything of that. I want to burn this village. I called him the son of the thunder because of his quick temper. He doesn't want to change. He refuses to change. Let me tell you how he will change. My third method. One day, I will be crucified. Now, don't tell that anybody. They cannot bear it right now. But I tell you because you ask me. I will be crucified. And when I will be crucified, all my disciples will run away. But John. John will come there and stand there in front of my cross. In dismay that the Son of God allows himself to be crucified. He will be shocked. But as he will stand there, he will hear me say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do, the ones who crucified me. They nailed me on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And they mock me and then laugh at me. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And John will be struck. He will remember when I first taught them in the Sermon on the Mount, pray for the ones who do evil to you. And he will remember and say, wait a minute, he is doing on the cross what he taught us to do. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I want to be like that. And I tell you, John, the son of the thunder, will die there under the cross. The one who will be born there will be called the disciple of love. He will go about telling everybody, love one another, love one another. The essence of Jesus is love one another. That is how the son of the thunder will be changed into the disciple of love, the apostle of love, under my cross. Now I will be horrified because I just heard that he will be crucified. So I say, my Lord, tell me why. Why will you be crucified? This is horrible news. I'm not surprised that you don't want to tell them about this. Yes, now listen carefully. I told you that my main purpose is to make people throw away Satan and bring in his place God, to change one ruler with another ruler. But there is a problem here. Actually, it's a double problem. Satan has some rights over these people. When they obeyed him, they came under his jurisdiction. That's why I call Satan the ruler of this earth, the prince of this earth. You know, I have to cancel his right to rule. I'll call that redemption, liberation. You know, Satan's right over people is their sins. And on that cross, my Father will collect all the sins of the world and put them on me. And when I will melt them in my blood, Satan will be disarmed. He will be made a mockery before all the cosmos because he wanted to kill the Son of God. And instead of that, by my dying, I disarm him. I take away his right of ownership because I cancel the sins. So that's what I have to accomplish. But there is another thing, the justice of God. The justice of God demands punishment for sin. And I will bear that punishment. And I will reconcile the justice of God. I will make God capable of declaring them right without him becoming unright. So I will satisfy the justice of God by dying instead of the sinners. I will solve this double problem, the ownership of Satan and the justice of God. That's why I have to go to the cross. Now listen, he will continue. Listen very carefully here. I have these purposes, but I start with the purpose of changing people. To undo what Satan did, I have to produce a transformation in their thinking and in their character and in their behavior. Make a distinction between forgiveness and transformation. I will have to call them after I give them all my teaching. I always say, now repent. Meaning change your way of thinking. So far you consider that the greatest thing in the world is to be free, independent, not knowing that you are not independent, that you are under Satan. Wake up. The greatest blunder we have ever done was trying to be independent of God. Change your mind. The wisest thing in the world is to come under the authority of God. Come under His rule. And I will even give them the definition. Thy kingdom come. That is, yeah, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. When God's rule or kingdom come in me, I accept the will of God in me as taught by Jesus. Because my job is, by my teaching, to show them what is the will of God for them. Thy kingdom come. That means I accept the will of God to be done. I install God as my ruler and live according to the teaching of Jesus, which is the will of God. So my job is to undo the work of the devil by producing good people, or by producing people in the image of God, my Father and myself, to produce people like ourselves by the methods I told you. So be careful, because people will love to say, well, I'm happy that he died for me so that I can go to heaven and forget about my teaching. Now, in order to put them right, think it this way. Put the cross here between Satan and God. In order for people to flee from under Satan to under God, they need a gate. I am the gate. I am the door. Nobody comes to God but through me, through the cross. But when they come straight into my school. So put the cross as the entry to my school. Or put it as the admissions to my school. That's how you should link them. So the cross is there to get me out of Satan and into, under the authority of God, into the school of Jesus. That's how you should see it. Well, I am still thinking. Lord, I know how wicked people are. You said that you want to make them good by giving them your teaching, then by giving you them your model, then by bringing them under your cross and to be overwhelmed by their, yes, indeed, I see that the power of transformation in the cross. Yes, but Lord, I am still not convinced. that you can do the job that way. I'm happy you say that, because I didn't finish. You know, in my very last night with my disciples, I will give them the last lesson, the most basic lesson. I will start directly with what you said, that they cannot do it. And I will say, separate from me, you cannot do anything. And I will give them the deepest of my teachings. Union with myself. As Father is in me and I am in the Father, I want to be in them and they in me. I will illustrate it with a vine and its branches. So organically united that they now have my life poured in them. And I will emphasize that. I'll have them think in these terms. Separate with me, you cannot do anything. Teach them how to live in that union with me. Love me so much that they open every day to my presence in them and say, today, Jesus, live in me. I have no chance alone, but Jesus, I want to be filled with you. Fill me again with your presence. Then I will say, that's still not enough. I will start to teach them about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come to become the spirit of their mind. And the Spirit's job will be to remind them of my teaching. You see, they tend to forget. But the job of the Spirit will be to shout to them, remember what Jesus taught you. Remember, don't say that evil word. Remember only good words. Don't hurt that person. Remember what Jesus taught you. And the Holy Spirit will remind them of my teaching. And the Holy Spirit will be there to infuse them with passion for me and passion to be like me. And actually, the power will flow both from me and from the Holy Spirit. We will be the source of power for the believer, learning how to live in union with me and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's how I am going to work. That's how I am going to transform people. I will be absolutely enthralled. I thank the Lord for giving me his entire mind, in a nutshell. My brothers and sisters, why did Jesus come here? Remember, 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. That's the basic thing. The Son of God came to undo what Satan has done. And that's in two areas. One is canceling Satan's right over us, reconciling us with God. But that's only one very major thing. The other one is our transformation. Christ is in the business of producing a new creation. And let me here introduce another man who was a very wicked man. He hated Christ. He hated the Christians. He tortured Christians. He imposed with force his religion on everybody. And one day, Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And that man was totally, completely changed. In order to see the change, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he explains how much pain he has as apostle, how many tortures. He actually says, I am like a walking death. But because I accept to be like a walking death, life works in you. All that I suffer is so that the life of Christ may come to you. You know, that's the deepest definition of being good. I accept to be like a walking death so that you obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate in goodness. But then you will ask Paul, how did you change like that? And he will explain it in 2 Corinthians 5:15. I meditated a lot about the cross, says he. And I came to see, one day I looked at that cross and I said, why is Jesus on that cross? He's not there for himself. He's there for me. What he is doing there is the most unselfish thing ever done on this planet. Dying for others. Again, that's goodness in its ultimate form. And I will look at me, that selfish man who wanted to have his own way with everybody. And I'll understand. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for me so that I stop living for self. Period. He died for me to kill the selfish man from me and then live totally for Christ. And when I say, all right, Christ, I accept to die. The selfish Paul is dead. Now I live for you. And he will say, Paul, whenever you live for me, live for others. Because whenever you do these things to them, you do them to me. Therefore, I am a new creation. If anybody has understood that the real transformation under the cross is that I stop living for self and I live for Christ and I live for others, that's the new creation. That's a totally good person. That's the ultimate in goodness. And again, you see that under the cross. When you understand the goodness of God on the cross of Christ, it is actually in Titus 3:4, when the goodness of God and the love of God for people appeared in the cross. He saved us. When the goodness and the love of God appeared on that cross, that's when we came into the process of transformation. Why did Christ come? To make me a new creation. To make me totally a new type of person. One who stopped being selfish and who learned to live for the others. That's goodness. Will you bow your heads right now for a moment with me? Because I want to pray for us all. Lord Jesus Christ, it is your unspeakable goodness and love that made you stay on that cross in my stead, to liberate me from Satan, to reconcile me with God, and then come deep, deep in me, kill the selfish man in me, and make me a new creation. Thank you, my Lord, for your teaching. Now I understand your mind. Now I want to be like you, because I soaked in your mind, your ways. We love you, Lord Jesus. Come, fill us with yourself and fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us like yourself. Amen.